Volunteer-powered,
listener-supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Don Guerra.
And I'm Wes Martin. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, October 10th, 2017.
Coming up in the next half hour, identifying and preventing the causes of elder abuse. Coming up on Everyday People, a weekly segment aimed at improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. But first, these local headlines.
Indiana University will spend $50 million in researching addiction over the next 5 years. IU President Michael McRobbie announced this afternoon. At a joint press conference with Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb at the State House in Indianapolis, McRobbie said the funding will come from the university's $300 million Grand Challenges Initiative. In a Facebook Live video, McRobbie told the crowd that Robin Newhouse, Dean of Nursing at IU Health, will head the initiative.
This morning, I'm very pleased to announce that Indiana University's third Grand Challenge Initiative will be responding to the addictions crisis. Distinguished Professor Robin Newhouse, Dean of the IU School of Nursing, will serve as the initiative's principal investigator.
McRobbie said the Addictions Initiative represents the largest opioid epidemic partnership between public institutions and state government in the nation. He said among the projects to be implemented over the next 6 months is a data collection and analysis initiative, which will be shared with government agencies.
Of this, around $13 million will be deployed immediately over the next 6 months in over 10 separate projects in the following areas. We will work to address key issues in substance abuse prevention, early intervention, treatment, recovery, and enforcement.
The Addiction Initiative's principal investigator and dean of nursing at IU Health, Robin Newhouse, said data collection, including individual data of those filling opioid prescriptions, is necessary to help inform public health policies.
Our leaders in community have told us that to attack addictions, they need real-time data. Examples include opioid prescriptions filled at multiple pharmacies by the same person, or admissions to the emergency department across Indiana related to opioid use. Together, we will develop robust data infrastructure that link data together to support evidence-based and data-driven solutions with real-time evidence to all elements of the addictions crisis.
IU Health CEO and President Dennis Murphy echoed McRobbie and Newhouse's statements about the importance of technology within the initiative, stating that IU Health is using online tools to circumvent its shortage of healthcare workers responding to addiction.
Another option we have to increase capacity is to leverage technology. We're already making investments in significant expansion of telemedicine to manage these patients, not only to get people care quickly, but to get people care where they live and to manage our current workforce shortage. Finally, it is the partnership with IU Health that the prescribing of opioid pain medications will be reduced. To start, we've updated our electronic health records to support compliance with new state limits on opioid prescriptions.
Murphy said IU Health, the largest healthcare provider in the state, has reduced its opioid prescriptions by 20%. The announcement came during IU President Michael McRobbie's 2017 State of the University address.
Hi, I'm Jerry Stern, and I'm here with Megan Wade. We're both part of the 150 volunteers at WFHB. I enjoy listening to the Daily Local News Show because it often reports on nationwide issues, just like we were hearing with addiction, and discusses how those issues directly affect residents of South Central Indiana. Yesterday's show, for example, talked about a website that was designed to help women in Indiana find health care. So again, a national issue presented from a local perspective. Yesterday's show also discussed the current status of a mural in one of the classroom buildings on the IU campus. The mural depicts Ku Klux Klan members burning a cross. This story clearly links with the unfortunate increase in bigotry in the U.S.
Radio may seem free since you do not have to pay to listen. Unfortunately, it is not free to produce and broadcast. Donations provide roughly half of our budget. Donation funds are used to pay for many needs, including replacement and repairs of aging equipment, paying for nationally syndicated shows, promotion expenses for fundraising events, paying staff who, in part, manage and organize the work of 150 volunteers, legal and accounting fees, utilities, supplies, telephone service, insurance, and federal funding provides roughly 30% of our budget. Unfortunately, this funding may disappear as early as December.
Okay, and so last fall we did a survey of our listeners to determine, among other things, why WFHB is important to them. And one of the overwhelming responses was that WFHB strongly focuses on local topics. And so again, that's why daily local news is so important, and other news shows that we have are so important, because they bring to light national issues in general, and then they focus on how those issues affect us here in South Central Indiana. Because you enjoy this show, we ask that you consider becoming an active contributor to WFHB by making a contribution. Contributions help us to continue to provide great news shows and great music shows. One option for making a contribution is to call 812-323-1200. Again, that's 812-323-1200. You can also visit our website at wfhb.org and click on the red donate button and make a donation. Again, that's wfhb@wfhb.org. The website is safe and secure. We're especially looking for monthly sustaining donations, which can be as low as $5 per month, and we accept credit and debit cards. Sustaining donations help WFHB to predict future income. I like to focus on predicting future income. I'm the treasurer, among other things, here at WFHB. And so my job, part of it, is to look down the road and see if we have enough money to pay for our expenses, as Megan was just listing. Such predictions are vital for us. A contribution even as low as $5 per month would be helpful. And certainly lump sum one-time donations are greatly appreciated as well. All donations are potentially tax deductible and should be viewed as an investment in something you believe in, community radio. Thank you for your prior donations you may have made, and thank you for considering to donate today. Again, our phone number, 812-323-1200, 812-323-1200, and our website, wfhb.org. Thanks once again for considering to donate.
The Indiana Department of Education released school accountability grades for the 2016-2017 school year. According to the Department of Education, a quarter of Indiana schools increased their scores by one or more letter grades, and over half of Indiana schools were in the A to B range. The Monroe County School Corporation scored a B, dropping down from the A that it had held since 2014. Meanwhile, the Richland Bean Blossom School District received an A, an increase from the Bs they have scored since 2014. Out of all Monroe County schools, Fairview Elementary scored the lowest, with an overall grade of D. The accountability system is reportedly based on the percentage of students who pass language, arts, and math assessments, in addition to the percentage of students who graduate each year. Individual student growth and improvement between assessments is also taken into account. Scores for other Indiana schools and districts can be found online at doe.in.gov/accountability.
The office of Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton is looking to fund a proposed Monroe County Convention Center by levying a 1% food and beverage tax. After some pushback during a planning session during a Bloomington City Council meeting with regards to the expansion's design, the proposed expansion and tax will go before the Monroe County Council during their meeting tonight. Deputy Mayor Mick Renison says the city is hoping that the 1% food and beverage tax, which would be levied against all food and beverage purchases, could be used to raise bond finances for the convention center's expansion.
Well, we do anticipate that the food and beverage tax, if enacted at 1%, would generate between $2.5 and $3 million a year. That would be used to bond for the debt service on construction and operation and maintenance of a convention center expansion. And we do think that at $2.5 to $3 million a year, that is sufficient to bond for those improvements and operate the convention center and maintain it.
Renison says the city has been considering a convention center expansion since before the state legislature approved a food and beverage tax back in 2009.
We've learned through the years that we are the second most popular tourism destination in the state behind Indianapolis, but we have the smallest convention center space. The staff that runs the convention center and the folks that visit Bloomington who promote the hotels and tourism attractions in Bloomington and Monroe County have also suggested they've courted many convention site meeting planners who said, love to come to Bloomington, you don't have enough space. Don't have enough hotel space, don't have enough convention space or trade show space.
Renison says the total cost of the project is estimated at over $70 million, although half of that would be contributed by private developers. The Monroe County Council meeting tonight is available through Community Access Television Services.
In a press release issued this afternoon, the Martin Luther King Jr. Commission announced that they have no service project grants to award for 2018. The release stated that the three prior funders for the mini-grant service projects, Service for Peace, Serve Indiana, and the Community Foundation of Bloomington and Monroe County, were unable to pass along funds for MLK Jr. Day service projects, quote, due to various reasons, unquote. The MLK Jr. Commission is encouraging those interested in service projects to contact the City of Bloomington's volunteer network in order to carry out their projects. Those interested can contact the Bloomington Volunteer Network at 812-349-3433 or by email at getconnected@bloomington.in.gov. For WFHB, I'm Don Guerra.
And I'm Wes Martin. Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and television service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Hi, I'm Jerry Stern, and I'm here with Megan Wade. Among the 150 volunteers at WFHB. And as I indicated earlier, my biggest interest in Daily Local News is how it brings to life national issues like what we heard earlier about addiction and discusses those issues directly, how directly they affect residents of South Central Indiana. We did a survey last fall, and WFHB listeners told us, among many other things, that WFHB is important to them because it strongly focuses on local topics. We have many, many expenses that radio may seem free because you don't have to pay to listen to radio. Unfortunately, it's not free to produce and broadcast. Donations provide roughly half of our budget. 30% of our budget comes from federal funding, and we've been relying on that for a number of years. But unfortunately, with the atmosphere in Washington, D.C., this funding may disappear as early as December of this year. And that's something that keeps some of us up at night. As treasurer of WFHB, it keeps me up a lot, unfortunately. And we also, we use these donation funds to help with repairs and maintenance of aging equipment and legal and accounting fees and mundane kinds of expenses places that you wouldn't think would be a problem for a not-for-profit. But we still have to focus on paying utilities and supplies and telephone service and insurance, and the list goes on and on. We also have to pay our staff, which we love to do, and in part they manage and organize the work of 150 volunteers. So they have their hands full. Because you enjoy the show, we ask that you consider becoming an active contributor to WFHB by making a contribution right now. You can call 812-323-1200. Again, that's 812-323-1200. You can also visit our website at wfhb.org. The website is safe and secure. We're especially looking for monthly sustaining donations, which can be as low as $5 per month, and we accept credit and debit cards as well. Sustaining donations help WFHB to predict future income. And again, as treasurer for WFHB, I like to be able to predict whether or not we're going to be able to pay our expenses next month or 3 months or 6 months or a year from now. Again, even $5 per month would be helpful. And certainly lump sum, one-time donations are greatly appreciated as well. All donations are potentially tax deductible and should be viewed as an investment in something you believe in, community radio. Thank you for your prior donations you have made, and thanks for considering to donate today. Again, our number, 812-323-1200. Once again, 812-323-1200. And our website is wfhb.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and thanks for considering to donate.
Coming up next, WFHB's weekly community resources segment, Everyday People.
Don't mess around. 'Cause I got eyes all over town.
Welcome to Everyday People, improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. Everyday resources for everyday people. Connecting our community by sharing resources you need, want, and probably don't know about.
Hey, Stacy, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. So we have a kind of a part two here. The last time that we were here, we talked about elder abuse, and we touched on some of the statistics around it, and we referred heavily to the National Council on Aging website. So we want to briefly touch on a few other important points about elder abuse so that people can be aware. Let's talk about what makes an older adult vulnerable.
Sure. So social isolation and mental impairment, that could be dementia or Alzheimer's disease, those are two huge factors. And recent studies show that nearly half of those with dementia experienced abuse or neglect. And interpersonal violence also has a higher rate among adults with disabilities.
So let's also talk about the warning signs of elder abuse. If you are caring for an older adult, whether as a family member or a friend, be aware of the following things. If you suspect physical abuse, you see things, bruises, burns, unusual marks on their body. Emotional abuse, this could be agitation, withdrawal from the usual activities, sudden changes in their alertness levels. Financial abuse, sudden changes in financial situations, maybe more bills are coming in from unusual places that you don't recognize. Neglect can look like poor hygiene, weight loss, and things like bed sores. And verbal and emotional abuse, someone who's experienced belittling threats or someone who's tried to take advantage of them in a power differential type of way. Something to look out for as well.
And those, I feel like a lot of those could go under the radar, that we might not notice those, especially the financial. We might not notice that if we're not looking for signs like bills piling up, mail not being opened. So we have to be watchful of really a lot of these. Bed sores, we probably wouldn't really notice that unless we were
giving the actual care,
right,
actual hands-on care. Yeah.
But we would notice clothes not being changed or washed, or wearing the same thing over and over, hair not being washed, weight loss, those kind of things. So one of these might not be a huge sign, but all of them together could be.
Anything that strikes someone as unusual.
Right.
Because if you're giving care
or you have a loved one who receives mm-hmm. care and you're in regular contact with them, right. you know, if something seems off, mm-hmm. investigate.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, be proactive. So what are some of the effects of elder abuse?
This is pretty stunning. Elders who have been abused have a 300% higher risk of death than those who have not been abused or mistreated. And again, we need to remember that elder abuse is most likely underreported. So some of these numbers are probably not even accurate. Financial exploitation is a huge problem, and it's self-reported by elders at rates higher than the emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. So watch out for financial exploitation. Let's quickly discuss how elder abuse can be prevented.
Taking care of your health, that's number one. Seeking professional help for any concerns and urging family members to get help for those problems too. Attending support groups for mm-hmm. spouses and learning about domestic violence services, and really just any support group out there is very beneficial. And plan for your future. I can't say that enough. Have a power of attorney. Have a living will. Mm-hmm. Tell your family who your doctor is. Know everything from when the trash goes out to your insurance card. Where is that? And seek independent advice from someone you trust before signing any documents. That one's a big one, too. Staying active in your community and connecting with friends and family. It decreases your social isolation, which has been connected to elder abuse. It keeps you active. It keeps your mind young. Posting and opening your own mail. Don't just pass that off to someone else. Not giving personal information over the phone. Use direct deposit for all checks. Have your own phone. Review your will periodically and know your rights.
If you have an emergency situation, you encounter something that is clearly not right with a loved one or a care recipient, call 911. Adult Protective Services in Owen and Monroe County is 812-349-2665.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday People.
Tune in next week for more information and resources that connect everyday people to everyday resources. For WFHB, I'm Courtney Stewart.
And I'm Stacey Goffinet.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin. Executive producer is Wes Martin.
Everyday People is produced by Courtney Stewart and Stacey Goffinet. Our engineer is Megan Wade. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. For WFHB, I'm Wes Martin.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Please stay tuned for Interchange, Bloomington Community Radio's longest-running public affairs program, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.